words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to start today's sermon with a scene from the film depiction of the familiar story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And this is when Lucy discovers Narnia. I think the young actor there really got that right with her face, the awe, the wonder. Well, we began with a familiar story, and actually the first reading and gospel today refer to one of the most familiar Old Testament stories with the same wonder of discovery, the story of Jacob's ladder, as it's often called. It's in Genesis 28, and before we look at it, we should give ourselves a little bit of background. Jacob has spent his whole life grasping the heel. That's what his name literally means. And he's been doing that his whole life, trying to manipulate and swindle blessing for himself. And now he's fleeing for his life from his own brother. It says that he came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And whenever I read that, I think, well, how exhausted would you have to be that you can sleep with a stone as your pillow? And it says he dreamt that there was a ladder, and that can be also translated as ramp or stairway. There was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And Jacob has an encounter with God, experiences God's presence. It says the Lord stood beside him. Note that Jacob didn't climb the ladder to get to God, rather, God came down. And this whole encounter speaks of relationship. I am with you. And will keep you, God says. I will not leave you. And this encounter also has a promise. The promise of blessing Jacob and blessing others through him. All the families of the earth, God says, shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Well, when he awoke from his sleep, his response was to say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. We use the word awesome so much, don't we? Where what we really mean is that's really good when we say that. But here, when he says, how awesome is this place, he's saying something more than that, something deeper. It's expressing awe and wonder. Reminds me of another scene from a movie, this one from the 1997 sci-fi movie Contact, which happens to be one of my favorite films. In this scene that we're going to watch, scientist and astronaut Dr. Ellie Arroway has been transported through wormholes far out into space. And then she has this experience. That was awe. She's overwhelmed at the beauty. No words. They should have sent a poet. I had no idea. Now, it will come as no great shock to anybody that I love books. Especially, I love old books like this one. This is the oldest in my collection. It was printed in 1622. It's actually St. Augustine's City of God. Well, so imagine how I felt when a few days ago I came across this video of the Thomas Fisher Rare Book Library at the University of Toronto. So I felt some awe, I have to say. 700,000 volumes are there. But there's a little more to the story than that. I actually went to the University of Toronto for my MDiv just a couple of blocks from this library. And I vaguely knew of it, but for some reason, I never decided to go and visit. I was hoping that maybe then this was a new building. It was built after 1988 when I left. But actually, I checked Wikipedia, and it was built in 1973. I had no idea. So too with us and God, I would say. There's so much that's right there for us to take hold of, but so often I have no idea. 19th century Dutch Christian Abraham Kuyper writes of intimacy with God, that God yearns for us in his classic book, Near Unto God. He says, "When we know God Almighty as a presence on the paths of our lives, when we have entered into a personal, particular relationship with God, then and only then does God become our Father in heaven. What we're talking about here is a relationship so personal and intimate that it can't be described in words. If you don't understand, you don't know God at that level." Well, Jacob was beginning to realize God's presence on the path of his life. God was becoming his God. The next two verses after our passage today say, "So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, which means house of God." Now, all this forms the background for Jesus' words in the gospel. Just before our passage, in verses 45 and 46, it says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" Philip is excited about his own encounter with Jesus, and so he invites Nathanael. It's the most natural thing to do. Nathanael was about to become excited himself. It says, "When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.'" Four chapters after Genesis 28, Jacob wrestles with God all night, and he comes to the place where he's finally at the end of himself and his strength and relies simply on God's blessing. And his name, the one who grasps the heel or deceiver, was changed to Israel. Here Jesus is basically saying, here to Nathanael is a true Israelite in whom there is no Jacob. And Nathanael says, "Where did you get to know me?" In other words, kind of, you think he maybe thinks Jesus is just trying to butter him up. Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And that blew Nathanael away. And he replies, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answers, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you," you and the you there is plural, you, plural, will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, using those same words from Genesis 28. Jesus says, you will not see just little bits of insight, Nathaniel. You're going to see so much more. Now, earlier in chapter 1, we had the words, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's the literal meaning of the word. An allusion to the tabernacle in the wilderness in the book of Exodus. Then, after today's passage in chapter 2, Jesus refers to himself as the temple. Destroy this temple, he says, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Speaking of his resurrection. Here, Jesus is saying, in effect, I am the ladder. I'm the ramp. I'm the link. I came down to earth to bring heaven to you, so that you can experience your hearts being lifted to heaven. And to all who are willing to be Israel, I am Bethel, the house of God, and I invite you to come in and dwell with me. This is God's message of love to us. God is with us. We can know God's presence here and now, so that we know that where we're walking is holy ground, the house of God, that we might know truly supernatural living. And indeed, God is within us, not just with us, but within us, as we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And all this begins here and now, and ultimately it ends with knowing and loving God in total and complete intimacy, seeing God face to face. We live in a world, though, where these unseen truths and the reality of this unseen world can seem make-believe. All of us have lives that are crammed full. We are so busy. Life can get so crazy that it can make deep reflection and deep living difficult. And when we look around us at the world, we see such darkness. Self-centered damage to the environment, violence, corruption, the shadow in ourselves also. The darkness can seem so strong. It can seem that there's coldness like a tomb of ice imprisoning our own hearts. Like Narnia, it can seem like it's always winter, but never Christmas. We struggle to keep sight of God in the midst of a world like this. But one way the church has helped us through the centuries in our struggle is with this observance of the feast of St. Michael and All Angels, a feast that invites us to have our eyes open to the unseen, to be filled with wonder. Michael is mentioned in the book of Daniel, in the epistle of Jude, and in today's passage from the book of Revelation, which says he's leading an army of angels, fighting for us and against Satan and the powers of darkness. Our passage from Revelation gives us a glimpse at a supernatural world that's so beyond our little thoughts. But it's also true that we're not told the angels' story, but our own. So we need to make sure that we don't get off focus. But there should be no question in our minds where true power lies. In fact, the church deliberately picked a date for this feast when the increasing darkness and cold, such as we have outside, from the approach of winter, were evident. And to proclaim this truth in the battle between light and darkness, good and evil, death and life, love and hate. Though darkness, evil, death and hate may seem so strong, light, good, life and love are stronger. As it says in Revelation, the devil is defeated and thrown out of heaven. He is still raging on the earth now, but he knows his time is short. Again, hearkening back to Narnia, spring comes as the witch's spell is overcome. Indeed, we can experience spring not just when we look at all the beautiful things like sunsets and flowers, but in the darkest and coldest of times. For God is with us. And Jesus is walking with us on nail-pierced feet, leading us in the way. Like good King Wenceslas, heat is in the very sod which the king has printed. The word angel also has a wider application. Angel means messenger. We could call this feast the Feast of St. Michael and all messengers, and that includes all of us. God is with us and within us and wants to include us as participants in the battle, as those who spread light and life in the warmth of God's love as we live out our faith in the world. Today is Food for Others Sunday in our parish, where we're invited to bring food for the food bank. Here's a video about the difference that angels of compassion and justice are making in our city through this ministry.
Here we are in the warehouse. This is 60,000 square feet of warehouse space where we hold all of our non-perishable food items. You notice that we've got our racking that holds 1 million pounds of food, and if we were to stop collecting food today, that would be gone in 4 weeks. Behind me, we've got volunteers that are sorting our donated food items. They're checking to make sure that those non-perishables are of quality so that they can go into our emergency food hampers. We have 131 volunteers that come to the Calgary Food Bank every day, and we could not do this without them. We also have our WAM program, which is the Weekends and More, where we work to eliminate childhood hunger by providing backpacks with the snacks. As well, we've got our shopping line, which volunteers get together and create hampers for families of one, families up to 10, with all of the important Canada Food Guide items. Distribution. Soon this area will be full of volunteers and clients, making sure that they can get those emergency hampers for their families. We traditionally do about 3,000 hampers a month, but now with the economic downturn, we're doing over 5,000. So this area will be bustling, where clients can pick up their perishables and non-perishable food items.
First time I went to the food bank, I was struck by the immensity of it, and again had that kind of I had no idea kind of awe experience. But though there's great response, of course there's it's necessary because there is such great need. As you heard, over 5,000 now a month who need assistance from the food bank. At St. Paul's, some of us have volunteered at the food bank, and we also have this Food for Others Sunday every fifth Sunday of the month, but we actually encourage us to bring food items on any Sunday. And whenever the bin is full, we contact the food bank, who come and put the food in their own boxes and take it away. When we serve, we discover what good King Wenceslas's page found out, that we experience life-giving warmth as we follow in our Master's footsteps. We encounter God as we serve, and once more utter the words of awe, I had no idea. Bless the Lord, you angels of His, you ministers of His who do His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.